This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Manchin stands firm. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Monday, December 20th. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin will not bow to pressure from fellow Democrats, saying he won't support a nearly $2 trillion social spending bill.
Health officials are raising the alarm about the spike in positive COVID cases. Meanwhile, the New Year's Eve celebration in Times Square could be in jeopardy.
At the movies, a record-setting performance for the most recent installment of the Spider-Man franchise will have the latest figures.
And what the latest Fed decision regarding interest rates means for things like our credit cards and mortgage rates.
The APR on a credit card really is based on the Fed in that banks work on what's called the prime rate. And the prime rate looks at what the federal funds rate is. And when people say that the Fed is hiking the rate, it's the federal funds rate.
Andrew Keschner at MarketWatch on the impact of rising interest rates on our bank accounts. Build Back Better, maybe go went gone. West Virginia Democratic Senator Joe Manchin says he will not vote for his party's $1.7 trillion tax and spend package. As written, that's likely the end of what could have been the centerpiece of President Biden's economic agenda. Mr. Manchin's biggest concern? Democrats' decision to fund a host of programs on a temporary basis. He's called that design a budget gimmick aimed at disguising the cost of the legislation because many Democrats have hoped to later extend the provisions in future bills.
If I can't go home and explain it to the people of West Virginia, I can't vote for it. And I cannot vote to continue with this piece of legislation. I just can't. I've tried everything humanly possible. I can't get there.
He was on Fox News. Democrats have spent months revising the package to win Mr. Biden's support.
Just vote. I've been saying that. Just vote. If that's what people need to show where they are, then vote.
Arkansas Republican Senator Tom Cotton.
At a time when we have almost $30 trillion in debt, this bill would add $5 trillion to it. We have the worst inflation in 40 years. This bill would add fuel to the fire of inflation.
Meanwhile, in an effort to salvage some of the White House wishes, Washington Congresswoman Susan DelBene proposes a smaller set of programs to fund in the bill, like the child tax credit and climate programs. President Biden plans to deliver remarks tomorrow on the status of the nation's battle against COVID-19. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention says the U.S. is now averaging more than 125,000 new cases a day. In addition, hospitalizations are rising. Deaths are averaging more than 1,100 a day. White House advisor Dr. Anthony Fauci says Americans who have received booster shots can still feel comfortable traveling this month to see family, as long as they wear masks in airports and on planes.
It has an extraordinary capability of transmitting efficiently from person to person. It seems to be overtaking all the other variants, including Delta, with a doubling time of about 2 to 3 days.
Elsewhere, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio says his administration would make a decision before Christmas on whether to have the annual New Year's Eve celebration in Times Square. Overseas, the Netherlands has a new lockdown in the face of the Omicron variant, with all non-essential shops, bars, and restaurants closed until mid-January. And Israel is moving to ban travel to the U.S. due to concerns about the Omicron variant. The surge in COVID cases has found its way again to Capitol Hill. Senators Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts and Cory Booker of New Jersey say they've tested positive, We get more from this morning's Mike Gavin.
In separate statements, the two Democrats said they had been fully vaccinated with two doses and a booster, and their symptoms were mild. Ms. Warren took to Twitter to say she's grateful for the protection provided against serious illness. She didn't say where she might have contracted the virus, but said she's regularly tested and turned up negative for COVID-19 earlier this past week. Mr. Booker's office, meanwhile, says he's certain that without the vaccine shots and booster, he'd be doing much worse. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. The virus is forcing sports leagues to reschedule games and entertainment venues to cancel shows. The NBA postponed 5 additional games yesterday. It's also the reason there are 2 Monday night football games this evening and a pair of football games tomorrow. It's 11 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Coming up next, Omicron collides with the final days of Christmas shopping. We don't go online the way we used to. These days, we have instant access for everything from photos to our finances right on our devices. We're almost always connected. And without the right online protection, you're almost always vulnerable to hackers. That's why there's Aura. Aura is a new type of security service that protects all of your online information and devices with one simple subscription. It's all-in-one protection from identity theft, financial fraud, malware, scam sites, and so much more. Aura provides digital security protection to keep your online finances, personal information, and tech safe from online threats with an easy online dashboard and alerts sent straight to your phone. Aura is easy to set up, and all plans come with $1 million in identity theft insurance to help recover your stolen funds and experienced U.S.-based customer support that's got your back. And for a limited time, Aura is offering our listeners up to 40% off plans when you visit aura.com/Gordon. Go to aura.com/Gordon to get complete protection and savings of up to 40%. That's A-U-R-A, aura.com/Gordon.
The information you need and the truth you demand. Start your day with America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us. Don't forget, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well at Gordon Deal. As many U.S. consumers heeded calls from retailers to begin their holiday shopping earlier than ever, another group watched the increasingly dire warnings about out-of-stock items and supply chain disruptions unmoved. Roughly half of American shoppers still have some items to cross off their holiday lists. What now in the final days as Omicron quickly spreads? Here's Charity Scott, retail reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Charity, what have we seen?
What we've seen is that although shoppers have gotten their holiday seasons off early this year, more people were shopping in October than in previous years. Starting your holiday shopping early isn't quite the same as finishing your holiday shopping early. So we're expected to see a big push, final push from people this weekend and then into the last couple of days before Christmas.
That's really rolling the dice this year, isn't it? With the warnings we've gotten about things may or may not being available on store shelves?
Yes, I think people are taking a risk in some cases. I think, you know, generally what we see in years past is a kind of shift from online shopping to in-person shopping as we get closer to Christmas and we get past those cutoff dates for parcel carriers. So, and that is what we expect to happen. But of course, there is a little bit of uncertainty around just how big in-store shopping is going to be because of the Omicron variant. And it's still a little too early to tell. The data isn't quite in to let us know how that's impacting consumer behavior.
Is that something that retailers are bracing for, that suddenly people may not want to go to a crowded mall because of what appears to be a highly transmissible Omicron variant?
I think it's always, you know, a risk. It's always something that retailers have to be mindful of. I think what we've seen more of from as far as retailers warning about potential sales not being up to potentially what they were expecting is more around product shortages versus the Omicron variant. At this point, I don't think anyone's, you know, really confident to say about how exactly the variant is going to impact retail sales one way or the other. But we do know that November retail sales were a little bit slower than October. And so that's something that we're all keeping an eye on.
Speaking with Charity Scott, retail reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Her story is called Omicron and Holiday Shopping Converge in Last Week Before Christmas. Generally speaking, when we shop earlier, don't we usually find room in the budget for more last-minute items than usual?
That is something that some of the people that I talked to for the story mentioned, that, you know, even if you start earlier, you might change your mind and want to get something else, especially if you're shopping for children. They may decide that the thing that they absolutely had to have for Christmas, they in fact want something else. So there's definitely always a chance that by starting early, you're just shopping for longer rather than getting all your shopping out of the way. One thing that we have seen from the National Retail Federation, which is a trade group, they said that, you know, basically a majority of Americans still have some items left to cross off their holiday list.
Wow.
Before we get to Christmas. So, you know, a lot of us are going to be busy in these last few days.
You know, to your point, I raised my eyebrows at the one guy in your story who said, yeah, you know, I kind of got like my work colleagues done early, but I'll just pick what's available for the rest of the people on my personal list. Yeah. I thought, oh boy, good luck.
Yes. I mean, I think that it's a potentially a good approach, I guess, if you don't really know what has been sold out and you're just choosing from amongst what's available, then I guess you'll just select the best option and feel like you got something that you wanted. That doesn't quite work out if you have, you know, people in your life who want very specific things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I guess it depends on if you're shopping for people who are kind of hard to shop for or not.
Thanks, Charity. Charity Scott, retail reporter at the Wall Street Journal. 20 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. Here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Democratic Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia says after months of negotiations, he has determined there's no way he can support the massive social spending bill known as the Build Back Better Act. Manchin told Fox he has spoken with President Biden, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, and Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, but could not reach an agreement on the legislation.
These are serious, serious things. There's a lot of good, but that bill is a mammoth piece of legislation, a mammoth piece. And when it's done even through regular order, it would be a tremendous, huge undertaking.
Manchin acknowledged there are aspects of the bill he's in favor of, but it is too hefty for him to justify voting for it.
Number two.
The Omicron virus is raging across the world as the winter holiday season approaches, making COVID vaccinations and booster shots more crucial than ever for traveling Americans. White House medical advisor Anthony Fauci.
If you are vaccinated and boosted and are prudent when you travel, when you're in an airport, to be wearing a mask all the time.
The impact of the virus is spreading across the U.S. with hospitalizations jumping, sporting events being rescheduled, and entertainment venues canceling shows.
Number three.
Authorities say the bodies of seven people have been discovered inside a home in a northwestern Minnesota city, but did not say how they died. Police say the victims included four adults and three children. They were found Saturday evening by family members conducting a welfare check at the home in Moorhead. Police say there were no signs of violence or forced entry into the residence. Moorhead is on the Minnesota border next to Fargo, North Dakota.
For the record, I never wanted to lie to you. But how do you tell someone that you're Spider-Man?
Now everybody knows.
Spider-Man No Way Home not only shattered pandemic-era box office records, it became the third best opening of all time behind Avengers Endgame and Avengers Infinity War. The Sony and Marvel blockbuster grossed a stunning $253 million over the weekend. As the third standalone Spider-Man film in the Tom Holland era, No Way Home was always going to be an event film for fans, but its success surprised many. Meanwhile, Bradley Cooper's newest movie, Nightmare Alley, brought in a dismal $3 million after costing $60 million to make.
Bradley, come on here. Spider-Man wrecked you. Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour. Dell Technologies' end-of-year sale is the perfect time to upgrade tech. Save big on the latest computers featuring Windows 11 Pro that easily automate workflows. Don't forget to shop servers, storage, and top-brand electronics with savings up to 45% and all with free shipping. Call a Dell Technologies advisor to help you transform your digital workspaces with comprehensive end-to-end solutions. Find the right tech for your business needs at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for being with us. The Federal Reserve promises to accelerate the pace of its tapering of bond purchases and has eyes on three hikes of its benchmark interest rate next year. What's that mean for our bank accounts or credit cards? We're joined by Andrew Keschner, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. Andy, help us out.
First off, on your credit cards, the APR on a credit card really is based on the Fed in that banks work on what's called the prime rate. And the prime rate, in turn, looks at what the federal funds rate is. And that, and when people say the Fed is hiking the rate, it's the federal funds rate, which is specifically the short-term overnight rate that banks lend money to each other. But everything builds off that rate, including the prime rate, which is where banks figure out their APR. And what they'll do is they'll use that, and then they'll say, okay, and now we have a person with a credit score of X, Y, and Z, so we're going to layer on this much more percent, and boom, there's your APR. And so when one piece of that puzzle goes up, the prime rate, or the, you know, the Fed fund rate, and then prime rate, then there you go. It brings up the APR. Yeah. And then that will, if you're carrying a balance, it's gonna cost you more to pay that down.
How about for the savers here? Since interest rates are going up, you hold CDs or you had a savings account at a bank that's been earning a fraction for a long time.
Yeah, I mean that's the other side. So it's like if you've got money in your CD or your savings account, high yield savings account, one of these online ones. Maybe it'll turn it up a bit in the year to come if these hikes do happen. That is definitely a possibility.
How much credit card debt right now do we carry as Americans?
So, as of the third quarter, the Federal Reserve Bank of New York said that we essentially carry about $80 billion in credit card debt. That sounds like a lot, and it definitely is, but it's actually less than it was pre-pandemic. It was kind of in the low $900 billion. People were home. They were, earlier in the pandemic, not spending as much, and so they were, putting it down to getting those those debts under control. But people are getting back out there, and especially during this holiday season, which they think is going to be a big one. You might be racking up debt and boom, paying it off next year when APRs are higher.
Thanks, Andy. Andrew Keschner, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch, in his story. Andy quoted Robert Frick, corporate economist at Navy Federal Credit Union, who said mortgage rates could rise from about 3% now to 3.7% by the end of 2022. That's according to a consensus of forecasts, he said, adding that rates on loans, including credit cards, will increase more or less in lockstep with federal fund rate increases. It's 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. If you've been back at the office lately, have you noticed how work attire has changed? The days of stuffy, uncomfortable clothes is gone, thankfully. And for the new wardrobe, Cuts Clothing is on the cutting edge of casual. They've elevated the classic t-shirt to something that fits the workday, the nightlife, and you perfectly. I know firsthand, I love my Cuts shirts. They're flexible, willing to move with me, and they're tough. Perfect for when I'm in the office or a night out. Get them for yourself now, and you'll not only look good at this year's holiday events,
You'll look good and stay comfortable. There's something for everyone on my list and yours, not just t-shirts. There's polos, bomber jackets, joggers, and more. Get them all from Cuts Clothing now. And don't just save time, save money too. Cuts has your holiday shopping covered with a ton of new products and special site-exclusive offers every day in December. Plus, get 15% off site-wide at cutsclothing.com/Gordon. That's C-U-T-S, cutsclothing.com/Gordon to get 15% off. Plus, can't miss daily deals. cutsclothing.com/Gordon.
No fear. Just facts. This is America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday, December 20th. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin says he'll vote no on Democrats' massive tax and spend proposal. The Omicron variant could jeopardize New Year's Eve in Times Square. Bars in Ireland now have an 8 p.m. curfew. Moderna said earlier today that its COVID booster works against Omicron. Former Georgia Senator Johnny Isaacson has died at 76. Sunday night football was a real barn burner. Saints over the Bucks, 9-0. And the cops knocking on doors for all the right reasons in Massachusetts. That story in about 20 minutes. Democrats are making an all-out push to recapture support in rural areas by touting massive federal investments in everything from broadband to monthly child tax credit payments. But they're facing some deep skepticism from the people the money is supposed to help, like those in rural Wisconsin. Meredith Lee, agriculture reporter at Politico, paid a visit to Monroe County. Meredith set this up.
Basically, Joe Biden on the 2020 campaign trail promised to rebuild rural communities like places in southwest Wisconsin, and especially after the pandemic hit. And his advisors at the time argued that doing so would really show that Democrats can deliver and also help reestablish their relevance with rural voters. But visiting this corner of southwest Wisconsin, where there's a really heated congressional race coming up, it appears that voters aren't really getting that message so far. The area is really one of the few rural swing districts left that Democrats have control of that Donald Trump didn't flip in 2016 and 2020. And really, conversations about rising inflation, concerns about the spending, those are really top of mind for people in those rural areas. They're not really resonating with the message that Democrats are trying to send, which is that these plans lower costs for them, lower things like prescription drugs, and will be helpful for rural economies.
Explain the culture war angle here.
So in Wisconsin right now, there's quite a lot of interest, especially from conservative and Trump voters, about these kind of conspiracy theories about the 2020 election, false claims of election fraud. And that is really bubbling around the surface in rural areas like Monroe County, where I visited, and across rural areas of the state. There are still, you know, Trump won flags up, Trump signs are still everywhere. And there's really there's an interest in those kinds of ongoing probes. And the candidate, the GOP candidate that's running in the 3rd congressional district in the southwest corner of Wisconsin, he, Derek Van Orden, he traveled to Washington, D.C. for the Stop the Steal rally before the Capitol was attacked on January 6th. You know, those cultural issues are really top of mind for voters right now, GOP voters in the area.
We're speaking with Meredith Lee, food and agriculture reporter at Politico. Her piece is called Biden's Rural Investments Run Up Against the Culture Wars in Wisconsin. She paid a visit to Monroe County, Wisconsin. So what's next? Because on top of what Democrats are trying to sell, there's this $1.7 billion in additional spending Democrats are pushing.
Right, yeah, $1.7 trillion. The concerns that I was hearing from voters in the area is that they're still unsure about that total top line spending. And Republicans in the area have done, as nationally they have done a lot of work stirring up concerns about inflation, which are very real concerns for voters in the area, concerns about the spending, and painting this as wasteful spending. And those are valid concerns that voters are voicing, and Democrats who are currently running for the open congressional seat there are trying to navigate. I spoke with Brad Paff, one of the candidates, and they're really trying to navigate the middle lane between hearing voters talking about their concerns, but also trying to explain these plans and the spending. And they're running up against quite a bit of resistance so far.
And it's not is mostly the rural areas that have turned on Mr. Biden at this point?
That's right. I mean, there are two medium-sized cities in the district of in the southwest corner of Wisconsin, but those really aren't big enough for Democrats to drive up their turnout and rely on. They really do, unlike a lot of other areas, they do really need to rely on rural counties in southwest Wisconsin if they want to hold on to the congressional seat. They need to make at least a dent with rural voters where Trump really ran up his margins in 2020.
Thanks, Meredith. Meredith Lee, food and agriculture reporter at Politico. Coming up next, the mic drop. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday. It is time now for the mic drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, you know, with most schools either in winter break or just about to leave for it, college students can take a breather for a few weeks. When they return, however, there will likely be a mountain of syllabuses for them awaiting them for their spring semester classes. But do students actually read those class outlines thoroughly? One Tennessee professor decided to put that question to the test. Kenyon Wilson, who teaches performing arts at University of Tennessee Chattanooga, decided to put an Easter egg in the syllabus for his music seminar class this past semester. The hint would have led to students to a locker that contained a $50 bill, free to the first student to claim it. But at the end of the semester, when Wilson went to check the locker, the bill was still there. Worse yet, this was a decent-sized class made up of 71 students. Wilson's Facebook post about the unclaimed cash not only sparked a reaction from students, but gave other professors and teachers around the nation an idea, with Wilson noting that perhaps spring 2022 will be the most read syllabi ever.
Wow. Man. I guess I don't remember reading too many syllabi in college days.
Yeah, and again, I think it also might depend on the class or how much you think you might need to read through the syllabi. I mean, for a performing arts class, you know, like this, I don't know if you necessarily feel that you need to read through and get every single piece of detailed information.
Perhaps.
You know, there are some other classes, but, you know, I don't want to, you know, want to put down a performing arts class, but, you know, perhaps a little more challenging, something you think is going to sort of test you a little bit more. You're going to need to sort of stay on top of a little bit more that you might need to read through.
Like a Shakespeare class.
Right. See, in a class like this, when they would pass out a syllabus, I assume they did it just because they were required to.
Perhaps.
Just like, you know, they make you go buy a book just because they're required to, that kind of thing. So I wouldn't think that there'd be anything in there that I'd really need to know. And if there is, they'll let me know in the class.
UT Chattanooga. Go Mox.
But now that I know that there might be some cash involved, again, maybe this spring, everyone's going to be reading the syllabus.
Could be it.
And we often hear about trying to make the best of a bad situation, owning our misfortune, if you will. It looks like one beach in Vancouver, Canada, is doing just that. Parks officials in the city recently unveiled what they called a holiday gift to the city. A beach at which a barge has been stranded for more than a month has been renamed Barge Chilling Beach. The barge has been in place since crashing into a seawall November 15th, despite multiple attempts to move it. The stranded vessel has now become a tourist attraction at the beach. The park tweeted a photo of the new sign with the caption, "Our little holiday gift to you, Vancouver," adding, "No matter what storms life may send our way, we'll always be here for you."
Just want to review this. This happened in mid-November.
Yes.
It's been more than a month.
It has been. And apparently, this barge is just unmovable. I haven't been following the case closely.
Okay.
To know exactly what the problem is.
Okay.
But it's sitting there, you know, up on a sandbar or something, and it just doesn't want to move.
Okay, but this is Vancouver.
Yeah.
British Columbia.
Right.
On the water.
Yes.
Where we would be familiar with water-related things.
May not be the first time this has happened. Right.
Right.
We should be able to dislodge something that becomes that runs ashore.
Wow.
You would think.
That's like a professional sign, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
That's like somebody didn't just slap something together and, you know, tape it on or drape it over something else.
Oh, no, they spend some taxpayer money on that as a gift to the citizens of Vancouver. Enjoy, everybody.
And just looking at the sign, right in the background is that massive barge stuck on, I think, like you said, some sort of sandbar.
Yes. Again, might as well own it, right, at this point?
Can't figure out tides and all that stuff to drag that thing free? Yeah. I don't understand.
I don't either.
Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour. What are your 2022 business goals? Simplified IT? More security? Dell Technologies has the expertise to help you. From transforming your digital workspaces to providing comprehensive end-to-end IT solutions, get high-performance computers featuring Windows 11 Pro with powerful hardware-based security and savings up to 45% during Dell's New Year event sale. Get special financing through Dell Financial Services. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
Advancing the conversation, identifying trends, and informing the world. This is America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us. Might be time to lace up those sneakers. New research finds that 10 minutes of running with moderate intensity can benefit pleasure levels and boost brain function. In a study published in the journal Scientific Reports, 26 participants completed both a 10-minute running session on a treadmill and a resting control session in randomized order. Prefrontal hemodynamic changes, also known as blood flow changes, were investigated. The researchers concluded that running resulted in significant enhanced arousal and pleasure levels compared to the control. They also noted that specific features of running may benefit brain activation by enhancing blood flow velocity. The co-author said running may be more of a stimulator than other forms of exercise that do not require as much coordination of weight-bearing activity, such as pedaling. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin, a conservative Democrat, says he won't support the Biden administration's Build Back Better plan, likely killing the social spending and climate policy bill as it is now. He spoke with Fox.
If I can't go home and explain it to the people of West Virginia, I can't vote for it. And I cannot vote to continue with this piece of legislation. I just can't. I've tried everything humanly possible. I can't get there.
White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said Manchin's decision represents a sudden and inexplicable reversal in his position and a breach of his commitments to the president and the senator's colleagues in the House and Senate.
Number two.
The World Health Organization says the Omicron coronavirus variant has been reported in 89 countries, and the number of cases is doubling in areas with community transmission. In the U.S., hospitalizations are jumping and entertainment venues are canceling shows, but New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy says he doesn't foresee any lockdowns.
We largely have folks, as fatigued as they are, they're largely accepting of what you need to do to push back at this, and for the time being, at least, we think that's gonna work for us.
Number three.
Chinese tennis star Peng Shuai is now denying making an accusation of sexual assault in her first media interview since alleging a top Chinese leader had coerced her to have sex. Peng sparked global concern when she disappeared from public view after posting the allegations online. In a video interview with a Singaporean Chinese language newspaper, she now says there have been a lot of misunderstandings about the post and that she's not under surveillance. But the Women's Tennis Association says it's still concerned that she is being censured by the state. Johnny Isaacson, an affable Georgia Republican politician who rose from the ranks of the state legislature to become a U.S. senator, has died at the age of 76. He spent more than three decades in Georgia political life. Nobody hounds Tom Brady like the New Orleans Saints. The Saints put the Buccaneers' division title celebration plans on hold with a 9-0 victory over the reigning Super Bowl champions, beating the Bucs for the seventh straight time during the regular season. It was just the third time Brady has been shut out in his entire career. Last time a Brady-led team failed to score a point in a game he started, 2006.
Oh, my goodness. A night for the kicker, Brett Maher, the hero. Oh, boy. Thanks, Jen. Dell Technologies' end-of-year sale is the perfect time to upgrade tech. Save big on the latest computers featuring Windows 11 Pro that easily automate workflows. Don't forget to shop servers, storage, and top-brand electronics with savings up to 45% and all with free shipping. Call a Dell Technologies advisor to help you transform your digital workspaces with comprehensive end-to-end solutions. Find the right tech for your business needs at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Sometimes being a police officer involves delivering packages. At least it did for officers Rob Schiffer and Weston Fazzino with the Lakeville Police Department in Lakeville, Massachusetts. The officers stopped by several people's homes recently with a pleasant surprise, their Amazon packages that had been abandoned on the side of the road. Officer Schiffer told Fox News he responded to a call about several Amazon packages left unattended when he arrived on scene. He didn't see an Amazon driver in the area, so he loaded the items into his car. According to the Lakeville PD blog, the two cops drove around to find a driver to return the items, but with no luck. Officer Schiffer said there were only 8 to 10 packages, and they were all from the immediate area, so he started delivering. He said, as you might imagine, many people were pretty shocked and kind of nervous to see a police officer at their door. He added, it's not always a bad thing when the police come to your house. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.